Call a meeting to order, the meeting of the Board of Adjustment of University City. Mr. Green, could you please do a roll call?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. McFarland?
Yes.
Ms. Holly?
Here.
Mr. Solidar?
Here.
Mr. Marentet?
Here.
Ms. Stratman?
Here.
Council Liaison, Mr. Jennings?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will say, I'm very happy to see the council liaison here. This is my 13th year on the board and the first time I've seen a council liaison in one of our meetings. Dave was here last time. It's good to have him. Rod, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, first item on the agenda is approval minutes of the July 21st, 2004 Board of Adjustment meeting. I was not here, so if anybody was here and want to make any comments, suggestions, or make a motion to approve the minutes.
I move they be accepted.
I second it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There's none. The meeting, the minutes of the last meeting are accepted. Tonight's case is number 14-03770. The applicant is Jeff McGee with St. Louis Design Alliance Incorporated on behalf of Washington University and St. Louis as a property owner. Request is a variance to increase the maximum allowable number of dwelling units for the proposed conversion of the existing multifamily residential building at, doesn't give the address on this, but it's 6601 Kingsbury. Increase the maximum number of dwelling units from to 6 units in lieu of 5 units per zoning code, and allow 4 parking spaces in lieu of 10 required per zoning, per the zoning code as well. Let me read the order of procedure. First, I'll read the standards for granting variances, noting that a 4-to-1 vote requirement is we have in place for approval. I'll ask anyone with exhibits to have them marked by the court reporter. I'll open a public hearing and swear on anyone who wishes to testify. The zoning administrator will show photos of the property. The applicant or representative will state their position. The zoning administrator will state the city's position. The chair and myself will then ask board members about site visits and any contact with the applicants or site owners. I'll ask, then open up for public comments. After that, we'll close the public hearing. We'll have a discussion by the board and a vote. The board and the zoning administrator will collaborate on documenting reasons for approval or disapproval. Note that board members may break in at any time to ask questions. The standards are, yes.
Before we get started, I want to know if we could recognize one of our future commission members, Mr.
Yes.
Came in. Gary Nell.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Good. It's good to have you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming to see
forward to it.
Okay. So, the standards for granting variances. The Board of Adjustments shall not grant a variance unless it shall, in each case, make specific written findings of fact directly based upon a particular evidence presented to it that support the following conclusions. One, the variance requested arises from a condition which is unique to the property in question and which is not ordinarily found in the same zoning district and is not created by an action or actions of the property owner or the applicant. Two, the strict application of the provisions of the zoning code from which a variance is requested will constitute an unnecessary hardship upon the property owner representing the application. Three, the variance request will not adversely affect the adjacent properties of public health, safety, order, convenience, or general welfare of the community. And granting the variance desired will not violate the general spirit of tenant zoning code. Again, I note that we require 4-to-1 vote in favor of approval. Is there anyone who with exhibits wishes to have them marked by the court reporter? Yes, sir.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Bork with Civil Engineering Design Consultants here on this evening on behalf of Quadrangle Housing.
Okay. Would you please give you? If you're going to testify, I'll get that. Get that from you later. Okay. Just give the exhibit, please, Mr. Reedens. Is that the? Does that include the proposed parking? That exhibit.
Yes, sir.
Anyone need to see? It does. Okay. Because I was going to ask if we had a copy of that officially marked by the court reporter, because that's going to be important, I think, tonight.
Yes, we have marked. This is new information to staff, but I just have one question. Are there copies for the entire board?
Is this substantially different from what we received in our packet?
No. Okay.
This is safe.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, thank you very much.
Mr.
Yes,
Senator,
ma'am.
Could you move your microphone closer to you?
Is that better?
That's better.
Yes.
And bring it down.
Bring it down. Okay.
Thank you.
Now he wants it up.
That
don't get good? All right.
Thank you.
Dare I move at all?
No.
All right. These are new microphones and I'm not used to it. Okay.
Thank you.
May I ask the relationship, as I look at the case number, the applicant is Jeff McGee with St. Louis Design Alliance on behalf of Washington University in St. Louis. What's the relationship with Quadrangle Housing? I'm not sure that I understand that.
Oh, okay.
And what's their role?
Okay, now, she has a question. Let me square you in first, okay, please?
Okay.
And anybody else who wishes to make any testimony tonight? Now, he wants me farther away, and you want me closer.
Pointed right at you, but farther away.
Just so you're not popping your peas.
Okay. Is there anybody who wishes to testify tonight's hearing? Would you please stand up and raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you? Thank you very much. Okay, yes, sir. You've been answering her question. Would you please give your name and address to the court reporter?
Jeff McGee with St. Louis Design Alliance Architects, 6014 Del Mar Boulevard. I'm just the architect, and we're going to have Mike Rourke with CEDC go ahead and present the case. I personally filled out the application as well. So we're going to have Mike present.
So you're the architect, and he's a civil engineer?
Yes.
So you're working together on the project
for
Washington?
Correct.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Not necessarily, because the application says Quadrangle Housing owns the subject property.
Yes, they do.
So it may be.
Okay, so.
We could ask Quadrangle Housing, which is the property owner, to indicate whether it's
the
authorization.
Is the university?
It's maybe it's an arm of the university.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's what I needed to know.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes.
I do still have exhibits.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we're in the middle of that.
Sorry. Okay. Yes, we were. Okay. University City Zoning Code. Documentation of publication of this public notice in a newspaper 15 days prior to tonight's meeting. A copy of the notice that was sent to property owners within 185 feet of the subject property. And a copy of the material that was submitted to staff and distributed to the Board of Adjustment members.
Thank you. Okay, we've sworn in anybody who wants to testify. I will open a public hearing. Mr. Greens, would you please show photos of the property?
Chair. So this is a copy of the map that was submitted with the material. The subject site itself is 6601 Kingsbury Boulevard, zoned HR. And as stated in the material submitted, this property is currently a three-unit, three-bedroom, multifamily building, and the request is to allow for six units. The reason that would require variance is based on the area of the lot itself. The maximum number of units allowed is five, and by increasing to six units, the parking requirements change from what is currently required. Currently, the site itself would require six parking spaces, but increasing to six units, the parking requirements are 10 spaces. This next slide, this is important because as you saw in the material submitted by the applicant, there is a conceptual comprehensive parking reconfiguration plan that was submitted, and the property owner has been worked with neighboring property owners to put together this plan. This property, 6609, and this property, 6619, are owned by Washington University, Quadrangle Housing. And then this property, 6605 and 6615, are owned by other property owners. And these, as was submitted in the material, and I won't get into the details of that, I'll leave that to the applicant. Behind these five buildings is where the proposed comprehensive parking reconfiguration is planned. This And I apologize for the light blocking here. This is looking at the subject property. This is Melville. Here is the subject building, the subject site. There's currently a driveway that extends to the rear parking area. And this might show it better. As you can see, the parking area behind these five buildings, there's a mix of access between access from the alley, and then some there's shared access, and then there's a couple that have access from Kingsbury. So it's a real mix of where access is where access to the parking area is from, and just the layout itself. And that was shown on the current layout that was submitted by the applicant.
While you're on this picture, there was a remark in the applicant's letter, on the application itself, noting that Melville was being sort of rebuilt and taking over some area there, some retaining wall. Has that been done with the current fences there?
Correct.
What have you done?
This portion, and this is probably the best picture of it. So when the Centennial Greenway project was installed, this retaining wall was brought in away from the street. So it, as the applicant stated in their letter, that it reduced the available area for parking. That's this retaining wall here.
Thank you.
Let's see if this, it's difficult to see in this picture anyway. This shows the entire area of the five buildings. This is 6619. This is the furthest building to the west. And then this building behind this tree is the subject site. So this shows, this is sort of the entire area that's included in the conceptual parking reconfiguration plan, with access off the alley at this location here. And this is just looking the other way with the subject property here. As was noted when the material was sent out, while the proposed parking reconfiguration is not part of the specific request, it is related because, as stated in the applicant's material, this proposed parking reconfiguration would allow for improved parking behind these five buildings and an overall increase in the number of off-street parking spaces, including adding two spaces on the street through the demolition of the two driveways. I do have the material that was submitted by the applicant as well, but I'll leave that to the applicant.
All right, thank you. The applicant or the applicant's representative, please, would you testify?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Vorwick. I'm with Civil Engineering Design Consultants, 11402 Gravois Road, St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm here this evening on behalf of Quadrangle Housing. Also with me are Steve Condren with Quadrangle Housing, Dave Maston, and Jeff McGee from St. Louis Design Alliance Project Architects. As mentioned, we're here seeking a variance to section 400.1130, the minimum lot area. As Zach mentioned, the subject property 6601 Kingsbury is currently at 7,000 square feet. When that lot was originally platted, it was 10,000 square feet, just the same as the neighboring properties further to the west along Kingsbury. The lot is currently down 7,000 square feet as a result of for Melville Avenue. Another note, as Zach mentioned, we're converting this building from a three-unit, three-bedroom apartment to 6 one-bedroom. And with that, we'll see a decrease in number of residents within the area from 9 residents down to 6. However, as
kind of tied to this is the requirement for the additional parking. The way the code is written, we would need additional parking because we're going from a apartment building that is more than two bedroom units down to only one. The requirement for one bedroom is 1.5 spaces per unit plus one for the visitor, and that puts us up to 10. So in an effort to mitigate the deficiency of existing parking, as you see from the plan, there is a mixture of parking in the rear and on the street. As it stands today, the existing situation for these five lots, there are 40 parking spaces available for all five lots. Under the proposed comprehensive parking plan, we would increase the amount of parking provided, including those available to the, on the street, to 53. So there'd be an increase of 13 parking spaces.
Now, wait a minute. Your piece of paper you submitted says existing is 31 and the new total would be 43. You just quoted 40 and 53.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. That's counting those available on Kingsbury.
Okay.
So you're correct. The on-site parking goes from 31 to 43.
Okay, I would submit that all we're concerned with really is the on-site parking.
Okay.
Yeah. Nonetheless, your plan does gain 12 spaces. Okay.
Correct, yes. So the proposed plan provides an increase of 12 on-site parking for this group of five properties.
Because you changed the entrances, are you picking up two additional on-street parking?
There would be additional parking available on the street because of those. There are two entrances that currently go between the existing buildings, 6601 and 6605, and then also at 6609 and 6615. So those entrances would be eliminated and free up some additional parking along Kingsbury. Another highlight of this plan, as I mentioned, we would be adding 12 on-site parking stalls, and we would also be increasing the amount of green space because it's a more efficient plan. So when we look at all five properties together, there's an overall increase in the amount of green space. And it also eliminates multiple entrances in and out, whether it's via the alley or Kingsbury. As Zach mentioned, Quadrangle Housing has letters from the two individual properties in between who are in support and with the project. If there are any other questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
I think we'll get back to you if there are. Oh, go ahead. Thank
you. Yes. The two other properties that Quadrangle owns on this block, 6619 and 6609, the plan indicates that there are six existing units in each of those in a three-story apartment. Are those already developed and in final configuration, or do you have work to do on those?
Well, they are existing units, but they will be renovated.
Okay, so if they're going to be renovated, are you going to come back and ask to increase the number of units in those two buildings?
They're going to be renovated with the same number of units that they currently have.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about the total number of units here. So if we come back with a plan, the building that's twice as large, we're putting six units in here. The building is twice as large has six units. It would seem that doesn't match what the application says in terms of the shortage of one-bedroom housing. So either, I would like to know more about the master plan, because it seems like the probability of having a lot more units on this site is pretty high.
Wait, would you please give your name and address to the court reporter?
Sure. I'm Steve Condren. I'm director of off-campus real estate at Washington University. My address is 700 Rosedale in St. Louis. And I can respond to your question. We actually already have programmed the renovation for all three buildings. The other two buildings we own have no increase in density as part of our program.
Okay.
Thank you. Good question, though. Okay, are you finished then?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we may get back to you. Mr. Green, would you please give the city's position?
Yes, just a moment.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Is the proposed parking, is that a guaranteed done deed, or is that just proposed to renovate the parking space? Is that all part of the master plan and it's a guaranteed project, or is there something up in the air about that?
Well, I can speak to the university's efforts thus far. We have met with adjacent property owners, both of whom support the plan. We have funding in place at the university, and we are ready to proceed.
What happens if one of the adjacent property owners decides to sell?
You'll notice in the letter of support that we all envision entering into a maintenance easement agreement that will bind the properties. It will run with the land. It will be record of record with the county. So we will burden the properties to successive property owners to live up to their maintenance responsibilities and abide by the allocation of parking spaces.
How are parking spaces allocated to renters?
That will be up to each property owner, but you see how we've allocated them by property and then how they manage which tenants receive parking and whether they, by unit. That will be up to each individual property owner.
So each unit gets an allocated amount, each property gets an allocated amount, and they can decide which tenant gets them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to point out first, and this is in reference to some of the previous questions, the buildings to the west, the four properties to the west, are currently legal non-conforming in terms of the parking requirements. So they're allowed to continue as such. It's just that they cannot, an increase in that degree of non-conformity cannot take place. But through the conceptual parking plan, it actually each gain a certain amount of spaces. But all four properties currently do not meet the code for parking. They're legal non-conforming. Regarding the request, is staff's opinion that regarding the proposed number of units by increasing from three-bedroom units to 6 one-bedroom units, staff has no objection to that increase because the overall number of bedrooms will be decreased from 9 to 6, and the subject property, if it were 200 square feet, an increase in 200 square feet in size, it would comply with that requirement. Regarding the parking, the staff agrees that the project that took place on the walkway to the east did limit the space available for parking on the site. And overall, staff has no objection to the variance request, subject to the conceptual parking reconfiguration, and would recommend that if the Board of Adjustment were to grant this variance, that a condition be placed on that approval, subject to Department of Community Development approval of the site plan, as well as a condition that the property owner and the five property owners enter into an agreement for shared use of that parking area.
Thank you. From what you said, it also seems apparent that you're actually reducing the degree of legal nonconformity if we grant this by having fewer, more spaces available. We reduce the degree of legal nonconformity.
Correct, as long as it is constructed.
That's right. Okay. Okay, I'll now ask the board members about site visits and any contact with the applicants or the site owners. Kathy, did you visit the site and talk to anybody?
I drove by the site. I didn't speak to anyone.
Thank you. Charlie?
I visited the site, but I did not speak with anyone.
Okay, Roger?
I drove around and walked the property, but did not talk to anyone.
Peggy?
I drove by but did not speak to anyone.
Okay, and I myself, I did not speak to anybody. I drove by, I did observe that the building in question was being rehabbed already, and even though we haven't approved anything, but they're obviously tearing out the insides of the building preparatory to some modifications one way or another. Are there any comments from the public? Anybody in public wishes to make a comment?
Mr.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, there is a speaker form in the basket.
Here. Right here. Oh, speaker sign it. Lord, this is new. Okay. Eric Berla?
I pass. Thank
you. Passed. Okay.
We've got one.
Yes.
Hi, Gary Nelling. Of 850 Mortar and future member here. I think it's a vastly parking plan. And I've just had a chance to review this briefly. I think the point about the shared agreements between building owners, sorry, too close, between building owners is important because not all the allocated parking spaces are actually on a given piece of property. The one that will become go from six units to three units, some of that is on adjacent property, so you need cross agreements between them. I think the even though it's an alley, the landscaping and the extra green space along the alley is a general improvement to the neighborhood, and the removal of curb cuts from the front, a general improvement to the neighborhood. I would have a question. It's just general curiosity for me. In that when apartment buildings are private, the amount of people in a bedroom can vary. From one to two, typically. But when it becomes a university building, is each bedroom just one person? Because that might factor into how you look at the parking on a given site too. If you have a building with three bedroom, I'm sorry, I was going from three to six, not the other way around. If you have a building with three bedroom units, if that's private, it could considerably, it could be more than one person per bedroom, conceivably. Something for you all to think about. For us,
I would like
to think
about, quadrangle address.
I'm sorry, yes, Mr. Jennings, what?
I would like that quadrangle answer that question.
Yeah, we got the answer to the question. We'll let somebody from quadrangle answer that question. When I look at the zoning code, how it's written, and the reason for a three-bedroom unit having only two required parking places is the fact that it anticipated when the code is written, I think for a husband and wife occupying this the unit, as well as two bedrooms for children or a study or whatever.
Right. So
the general thought was when the zoning code is written, if you have a three bedroom unit, you only live in a normally required two parking spaces. But in this case now, if the university has a three bedroom unit, they can probably put one person in each bedroom, maybe as you say, more than one, and so then the requirement for three bedroom unit would clearly go up if this is what's going on. And Mr. Jennings, once he entered that from the university's representative, and I would like to have that too, as to how it was being used with the three-bedroom unit.
And the only other question would be that I would have for you to ask of them is the timing of the construction, because you're actually on that particular lot reducing parking per this plan, and you need the rest of, at least some of the rest of the parking, if not all of it, to be built in.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's, we got to that.
Okay.
Okay,
all right.
You.
I just couldn't resist talking. Thank you.
So for those of you who may be less familiar with quadrangle housing as opposed to the university at large, our target market is mostly graduate students as well as some faculty, young faculty and staff, as opposed to undergraduate students who find their housing through our residential life program. And as such, that's part of our motivation for reducing the density is we're trying to provide units that are one bedroom, reduced density compared to what the undergraduate population prefers. So with that in mind, that is our target. I can't stand up here and say that we won't have instances where young faculty will come with a significant other or even a graduate student for that matter. But generally speaking, we're trying to target one bedroom per student, one person per apartment as our target audience.
Does that, go ahead.
Well, I think, and then the second question was, what's the phasing and timing of the occupancy? Will the parking be done when this building's complete?
Yes, we're targeting having these buildings renovated for fall of 2015, next fall, to occupancy, and the parking lot would need to be ready when those buildings open on our end. Of course, we have to work around with two occupied buildings as well to consider.
Yes. I have a question. I'm just kind of curious. Is it for the people who are assigned an apartment, do they get an assigned parking position? I know we kind of touched on that. Or is it first come, first served basis?
So in terms of how we manage the parking lot, once we've done our allocation of spaces, we still have to work that into the agreement with the adjacent owners. It's envisioned it will most likely function where we will assign specific spots to each property, and then depending on their appetite to have us monitor the lot as we would on other facilities that we own. That's still to be resolved.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other comments from anybody? One thing I haven't heard addressed so far is the question of the hardship requirement. I can see advantages to doing this, where the city is gaining, we're reducing legal nonconformity. You're reducing the number of students in there, we're making more parking spaces available. We're supposed to have an unnecessary hardship constituted upon the property owner in order to justify and grant an application. Would you please address that question?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The hardship that we were citing was the reduction in the lot area for the property at 6601 Kingsbury.
Okay.
And that reduction came at the cost of providing public right-of-way to Melville Avenue. The lot, as it was originally platted, was at 50 feet wide by 200 feet deep, so it was 10,000 square feet.
Okay, so your hardship then is the fact that the size of the lot was reduced simply because of the Melville, changes on Melville.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
But the changes in Melville happened prior to Quadrangle Housing acquiring this building. So I can see if that happened after the building were acquired that it would be a hardship for this owner, but this owner has acquired the property fully understanding that Melville Avenue is there.
I'm not sure that's accurate. We can find out the exact timing of both the acquisition and the grant of that easement. I don't have that on me, but my understanding is that Washington University was in ownership of the property at the time of the granting of the easement. I don't know if city staff has any facts on that.
No.
I don't have any.
Okay. Let me officially close the public hearing. Is there anybody else wishing to speak in the public hearing? Yes, sir. I need you to stay. Yeah, I swore you in. I need you to give your name and address to the court reporter, please.
My name is David Mastin, St. Louis Design Alliance, St. Louis, Missouri. Is that close enough? I'm 6014 Delmar. As one of the architects, I think if you were to look over the very far right, you can see where the greenway has taken away our ability to get enough cars on there to take care of anything, what's even existing. Yeah, we're unable to do that. So we're actually increasing our ability to conform to the zoning ordinance by having a comprehensive plan that allows us to add additional spaces. Even if no other spaces were allocated to the other four buildings, we would be able then to have the spaces that we would be looking for the six units in lieu of the three units. Everything here is just not conforming. I mean, the ordinance, you know that. I mean, it's not a way to make it work. So by taking away, it's about a third of our property there. We've really lost a couple of spaces on the north and the south side.
If I extend the line from in the north-south direction for the east side of the building, I'm assuming that's on the property. It almost looks like you would have had enough space to pick up the two parking spaces.
Where you see where the little bump is,
yes,
the double line, that's where the retaining wall is now. That's where
I understand that. What I'm saying is, if you follow the line of the building back, had that not jogged back, you would have been able to do this.
Yeah, but that's not what we've got.
I understand.
Yeah.
So what you're saying then that...
And that's encumbered, so it's not like we can go back and get that space back. Now, that's all part of an easement, and that's all recorded.
So I might say then your ability to do anything in terms of reducing the housing density and getting the parking, reducing the load on the parking requirement is really your hardship requirement because of the way this Millville thing was done.
Correct. And even then, it would still be non-conforming.
Right, I understand that. Okay.
So it's our best efforts to make it work.
Yeah, okay. Let me close the public hearing officially, then. Mm-hmm. If we need to get any more comment, we will.
Mr. Chair.
A discussion before the board, or Ms. Wheaton?
I just want to add a couple more comments. And the lot width, regardless of how it was platted, and the lot width currently is 35 feet, which is, the lot itself is still non-conforming. To Mr. Mastin's point, the change in topography, that would be a separate issue that would address that a topographical hardship.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion by the board? Well, let me thrust my thoughts in. I guess I would. I don't be willing. I sort of see the hardship of your claiming. I'm not quite sure it really fits, but in light of the fact that we're reducing the legal nonconformity, we would be if we approved this in terms of the number of bedrooms, number of spaces required, and the number of units that are involved, and actually gaining more parking by having a comprehensive plan go through for this parking. I'd be willing to sort of. In the back of my mind, I don't even waive the hardship requirement and say, go for it, because I think it's the right thing to do in terms of what the zoning requirement really wants. The zoning code really wants is to get things as close as possible to be legally conforming and provide as much parking spaces as can be done, be had. So given that, if anybody else wants to discuss that further, fine.
Well, I feel like they've made the hardship case because of the Millville improvement.
Okay.
I'm not getting any consulting fee tonight, but what they haven't pointed out is the existing driveway for the building does not meet the zoning because it needs to be 150 feet from an intersection where this parking improvement actually gets it away from that. So there's another improvement that's happening in terms of the safety of getting the driveway away from an intersection. I do feel strongly that if we vote to approve that it has to have the covenant or whatever the right phrase is for joining the property owners together for I can't say it, a long time.
Okay, and actually that exactly
perpetuity.
All right, and so what I'm going to say that I'm going to entertain a proposal to approve both variance requests conditioned upon. And I'm going to almost quote from the letter that Quadrangle Housing had the adjacent property owner sign. So conditioned upon University City's review and approval of the plan in substantially the same form as the attached exhibit which was presented to Mr. Greetens and the court reporter, as well as execution of a mutually acceptable agreement that sets forth the respective repair, maintenance, and other responsibilities for all the affected property owners. And I would then add includes a proper assignment somehow or other of who's to park where. So is anybody going to make a motion to approve along the lines of just what I said?
I make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? There are none. Your variances are approved subject to this condition.